he still pulled off a good move, overtook Fernando Alonso, which is never easy, and had a cracking move around the outside of Carlos Sainz.
F1 season ended on Yas Island this weekend as Mercedes and Ferrari engaged in a nail-biting battle for P2 in the Constructors' Championship at the Yas Marina Circuit. Joining me, Balf Baines, on the Silver Arrows podcast as we discuss George's good weekend, Frederik Vesu's first time in an F1 session, and Lewis's struggles. To help us do all of that, we have Adam Williams, an F1 journalist. Hello, Adam.
Hello, how are we all doing?
We are doing good. I'm hoping for more Drake references this week, Adam. But we also have F1 superfan Joe Collins. Hello, Joe.
Hi, how are we all?
Yes, we are. We are good. Let's get this party started. Last race.
I'm glad we've established that.
Last race of the season.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It is always a pleasure to be here. Last race of the season. So as always, we'll start chronologically with FP1 on the Friday. So George Russell, Adam, showcased his prowess, setting the pace with an impressive time of 1:26.07.
Yeah, George looked on it from the start of the weekend, and that was a sign of things to come. And it almost felt like the shackles were off him. He knew he'd had a bad season when you look at the points, but this was his opportunity to match Lewis on qualifying their head-to-heads. And this is what he did over the weekend. He started on the front foot and, yeah, went into the summer in a positive light.
I think that's a really good point that the sort of pressure was off him this weekend, because I don't think he could change position or anything in the championship, no. Unlike a lot of the drivers. So he was just totally free to do what he can do. And yeah, really good performance, really consistent performance, which has perhaps been missing at times this season. But,
definitely.
Yeah, but, you know, we all know what George can do. We all know he's a very fast driver. You only have to look back to last year. Yeah, good to see him without that sort of pressure that's maybe been on him for the rest of the season.
Did it remind you of the end of the 2015 season, Joe? And could that suggest what could happen next year between Russell and Hamilton?
It didn't remind me of that until you just pointed it out.
Do you want to remind the listeners what happened?
Adam's referring to Nico Rosberg winning the last three races of the 2015 season following Lewis Hamilton's championship win. Nico Rosberg then went on to win the first four races of 2016. I'd be very surprised if George wins the first four races of next season.
We could beat Lewis.
Maybe a bit of a positive surprise if Mercedes is that dominant.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not saying that George is going to beat Lewis Hamilton in the championship next year. But what I'm saying is it doesn't help. And it doesn't help to start the weekend on the front foot in first practice, even though it's the most unrepresentative session of the weekend in the heat, as they kept on telling us.
It definitely is unrepresented. But Joe, George Russell really set the pace, but we had a new driver in FP1.
Yeah, so Frederik Vesti, runner-up of the Formula 2 Championship, was in driving in FP1 this weekend. That's because each F1 team's mandated to give two practice sessions to rookies each year. So, and a lot of teams save it to the last weekend. But yeah, he's done a stellar job in F2 this year. So it's good to see that thing, that rewarded with an F1 session.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Do you think that he has what it takes to jump in that Williams seat? Because we know that Logan Sargeant hasn't been confirmed by James Vowles for next season. Who is it? It'll be either Liam Lawson. You'd probably think, if it's not Sargeant, Liam's probably favourite. Yeah. Then Vesti as well. And who won the FT Championship last season? It was Drugovich, wasn't
Drugovich,
it?
Drugovich, yeah.
So you'd think Vesti's in the frame. James Allison may know him. You'd think he would, actually, because he got himself
involved. Did you mean James Vowles, Adam?
Sorry, James Vowles, forgive me. There's a lot of Jameses, as Valtteri found out when he was saying Valtteri, it's James. But it will be interesting to see who does drive in that Williams seat.
Yeah.
If it's not Sargeant. And I don't think Vesti did a bad enough job to count him out of that session. As Christian Horner said over the weekend, it's a real challenge jumping in the car there, because if you crash it, that's basically putting you to the back of the queue in terms of team bosses thinking, who should I employ next? So, he did a good job. And the thing is about Vesti is that he was good. He didn't win the F2 championship. I know that Porsche is great and it was close. It was right to the last race. But I think the exciting young Mercedes talent that people are looking at is Kimi Antonelli.
Yeah, that is the problem that he's got, is that
he's jumped
someone,
from...
Yeah.
Like, he's missed F3, hasn't he? He's gone straight to F2, which is Max Verstappen-esque. I know he missed out F3 to go to F1, but still. A lot of people that I know that know F1 and motorsport in general are talking about Kimi as the next Lewis Hamilton. And I know we've had a few next Lewis Hamiltons in the form of Lando Norris and George Russell coming through recently, and they're not bad peddlers, are they? But if Antonelli's half as good, if not better, then Mercedes will... I suspect they'll have a clog, not even a clog of talent, but lots of talent, and how do you play with it? Because obviously you've got the greatest driver of all time in Lewis. You've got George Russell, who won all those championships and has shown himself to be a decent driver. Vesti, he's doing all right. Maybe he's not in the frame. You've got Mick Schumacher, who I don't think is going to get in the frame again for Mercedes, but he's going to continue as reserve driver. I'm right in thinking, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. And then you've got Antonelli, who's this wonder kid. If he can perform an F2, then he could be jumping in front of at least Schumacher and Antonelli. Imagine having a name, Kimi. That probably adds a tenth of a second of pace. Just
it
in
does
that.
Seem like it's destined, doesn't it? But no,
it's exciting though for Mercedes. Like they've got a good future roster of talent.
We've seen this situation before with Ocon and Wehrlein, sort of almost being George Russell was just behind them in terms of age, but then they saw this talent in George and they waited for him as opposed to pushing ahead with Ocon or Wehrlein. So I can definitely see that happening again, given the amount of hype that's been put around Antonelli. But it's a very big jump from F4 to F2. So
precisely, I'm not sure whether you can expect him to be going for the championship in his first season round, but yeah, it'll be exciting to see that next season. And if he does start delivering immediately, then Toto Wolff is going to be having to think about what he's going to do with him in 2025. But that's more than a year away. I suspect we're about to talk about FP2.
Bell. Yes, we are. Yeah, it's not a bad problem to have for Toto to have such this roster of drivers coming through. And Adam, if I ever have kids, I'm naming my firstborn Kimmy, just in case they can have a tenth of a second going through that lap. But like you said, FP2.
So you're not naming your kid Adam after me. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Maybe my second born. Kimmy and Adam. I think that's got a nice.
We
ring
can negotiate
there.
After.
So, like you said, FP2, the session was disrupted. Sainz spun into the barrier and Hülkenberg crashed at the exit of turn one. But Adam, Russell, at the end of FP2, Russell was P6 and Hamilton was two places below at P8.
Yeah, fairly solid, given the amount of disruption. I think that the most amount of laps people managed to piece together was like three or four laps. So, yeah, it was exciting in the sense that that was the one practice session where it was representative conditions for qualifying in the race, and the teams hadn't really got much, which meant that, well, it was almost like a sprint weekend situation where there wasn't that much running and they were going straight into qualifying in the race, which we've discussed being an issue for Mercedes in the past. At least they had a little bit of data and some time overnight before part Fermé kicked in. Perhaps that led to the difficulties that Lewis had with his car, although I think he had a similar setup to George, so he was just struggling, which is unusual. But yeah, fairly positive. But Sainz's crash set up a really poor weekend for him, and ultimately that suited Mercedes, because they were fighting with Ferrari heading into the weekend, just 4 points ahead of Ferrari in the Constructors' Championship. And this is, what, £10 million, I think it is, up for grabs. I know that the person in or the team in third position, they've got less wind tunnel time. I can't remember the exact numbers, but it's important for team morale and probably bonuses for the team when it comes to people at the factory and at the track to go P2 rather than P3.
So I do always wonder. I do always wonder how much effect that added wind tunnel time has on whether how much teams want to get there. It didn't seem to affect it too much, but it's got to be a small incentive not to.
Yeah, well, look at Aston Martin. How much of an improvement they had with that extra wind tunnel time, but.
Look how little of a deficit Red Bull had with their penalty on wind tunnel time.
That's also a really good point that you raised there, Joe. I don't want to enrage the Mercedes fans even more, so I'll just let that settle. But yeah, but yeah, clearly it means a lot to the team to be higher in the standings. I understand that when Verstappen won in 2021. Trigger warning. I probably should have given the trigger warning before I said that, because I'm still not over it. I understand that orders for new kitchens in the Milton Keynes area increased. So, yeah, it pays to work for an F1 team, as I'm sure some the people that you have on this podcast will tell you. Winning a championship, that really pays into your pocket if you're part of the team.
And it's also bragging rights as well, right? Saying you've got P2 or P1 in the championship. So that's also a point definitely to be made. Moving on to FP3, Russell leads the pack with multiple runs on soft tyres. Joe and Hamilton got P12 at the end of free practice three.
Good work, Joe.
Yeah, it was a bit of a mixed session for Mercedes as a whole, but really positive from George, and it sort of built the anticipation for a bit of a fight for pole position. Unfortunately, didn't quite materialise, as I'm sure we'll get onto later. But yeah, very mixed session with drivers that were clearly had differing opinions on where the car was at that point.
Yeah, but it went along with the pattern that we'd seen in FP2. And FP1 in the sense that Russell had been doing well, that Hamilton slightly on the back foot. And the point that we've said before is this wasn't representative condition. So there was that caveat. But like you say, excitement building ahead of qualifying.
The excitement definitely did build in qualifying with Hamilton getting in P11, which, you know, is not great for the Mercedes driver. He said the car needed a deep dive, Joe, during the winter break that we're currently in at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been clear for quite some time that the car does need an overhaul. And, you know, I think we're all pretty confident that we're going to get one. It's going to be a different philosophy. The whole car is going to be built around the same philosophy as opposed to this sort of half and half car where a lot of it's built around that zero pod concept, whereas obviously the aerodynamics are now geared towards a more Red Bull style aerodynamics. Definitely big overhauls needed.
Yeah, I think he might have said it twice on the way back to the pits after qualifying. There's something wrong with my car. So I think in terms of the individual Abu Dhabi Grand Prix weekend, there was something that Lewis didn't like about his car and he wasn't comfortable. But as we've said throughout the season, this hasn't been a comfortable car for him or George to drive, really.
Yeah.
That being said, like, this Mercedes from the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix this weekend just gone, that would have beaten the Red Bull from Bahrain. Such is the development of F1 cars these days. So it's not like it's a slow car. It's just difficult to drive. And we were talking before the podcast about an article from the BBC that come out the day of recording this about Hamilton having felt really nervous going into this season. And yeah, he really didn't like the fact that things were zigzagging in terms of that Mercedes didn't really have a North Star, to quote him. But that's definitely somewhere that they can go towards now over this winter break, which will be vital as they look to catch up with Red Bull. I know that you like a Drake reference, Belf. So maybe we can quote Drake's album to summarize this season. Honestly, never mind. But I think that's how Lewis felt after qualifying and the race, because he just fed up and he didn't want to say, "I don't care," but his body language was such. Other than getting the points for the Constructors' Championship, he wanted to go skydiving in Dubai and then go on holiday. I think he went skydiving today, actually. But do you think it's reasonable for Mercedes fans to expect that they can catch up with Red Bull over the winter? Mr. Joe, down-to-earth, straight talker.
Well, as I mentioned, I think it will make a big difference that the next year's car is going to be built around one philosophy and, you know, what's been demonstrated to be over the season, the right philosophy. So that should make a difference, not having a car that's split between these two. But as Lewis Hamilton himself pointed out, Red Bull haven't touched their car since August and it finished 17 seconds ahead of the field. That's quite a big gap to make up, assuming that Red Bull make no gains whatsoever. But you said I'm down to earth. I'm still positive. And I think they're going to be closer because you've seen over the course of the season, they have edged closer and closer. So why not be positive? James Allison's back. The car's going to be built around his philosophy. You've got two world-class drivers. positive.
You heard it here first. Who's going to be world champion?
Lewis Hamilton, obviously.
Talking about Drake there, Adam, it's in God's plan whether Mercedes get a win next year.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Talking about quali and going back to quali, Joe, Russell got P4, and that was a massive disparity between the two drivers in terms of qualification in Abu Dhabi.
Well, it had been building up to that through the three practice sessions. It was clear that George was just more comfortable in the car. And he popped in a good performance, not quite the pole that we were hoping for, you know, after FP3, but still it's a solid qualifying performance. Lewis getting knocked out in Q2. It's been a series of disappointing qualifyings, especially from Lewis's mega high standards in qualifying.
It's almost felt like win it or bin it, hasn't it? He's either banged in a great lap, and that's been the 11 where he's been ahead of Russell, or he's been knocked out of nowhere and having to fight back on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's just from not having full confidence in the car. You know, qualifying's where you really need that confidence when the car's right on the limit. And he clearly doesn't feel like he's got that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He's been very good at making it up in the races this season with his tyre management, and his race pace has been absolutely exceptional. You know, only Max has been comparable in terms of race pace this season, I'd say, to Lewis. But yeah, qualifying's just not been quite there for him. And he's the first person to admit that this season. So hopefully we can see his confidence in the car come back next year and become the qualifier that we know he is.
Here's hoping. But moving on to the actual race itself on the Sunday, Adam, Russell had a massive overtaking opportunity on the McLarens, which he definitely took.
Yeah, definitely. Not the first time round. He tried it around the outside of that sweeping left-hander that replaced the three clumsy chicanes in the middle sector. And Piastri was able to get back ahead, but he soon got past Piastri and Norris. And, well, he was helped out in the pits with Norris's slow pit stop and Mercedes being on it for once, at least for that pit stop. I know he had a slower one later on. But, yeah, he did a great job. He did what he needed to do. It was quite amusing him getting on the radio and saying, "Where's Lewis? How are we looking in the championship?" And Mercedes were like, "Lewis is in his own race." It felt like quite an existential way to answer that question. We're all on a journey and Lewis is on his.
Yeah.
Now you just stay focused on you doing your journey, and who knows, maybe we'll beat Ferrari. And that's what they did. Sorry to ruin it, but you've probably seen the race by now. George did well and continued on that positive track that we'd seen him on throughout the weekend.
It wasn't just the move as well. I thought it was a very consistent race overall for George.
Yes, good pace.
Demonstrating really good pace. And as I just mentioned, Lewis has had great race pace all through the season. it's somewhere that George has been lacking. And so to see him put a whole race together and have great pace throughout it was really positive.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talk about inconsistency with George throughout the season. I'm thinking of Canada and qualifying in Belgium and Spain. But Lewis didn't drive like himself. It might have been because he was uncomfortable with the car, didn't really want to be there, or just had an off day. But going into the back of Pierre Gasly a couple of times, that was unfortunate. As Valtteri Bottas said when he looked behind, said that's unfortunate. sorry, just thinking of a meme off the top of my head. But yeah, he still pulled off a good move, overtook Fernando Alonso, which is never easy, and had a cracking move around the outside of Carlos Sainz, even though Sainz was on more degraded tyres. He was goal hanging, wasn't he, for a safety car that never came out. I would say safety cars never come out in Abu Dhabi, but Lewis beat Sainz, which is what he needed to do to pick up those 2 points to help Mercedes beat Ferrari by 3 points. So ultimately, it did pay off for Lewis to do what he needed to do. But what he wanted to do was to get out of Abu Dhabi, as I said a few minutes ago, because he was fed up, wasn't he?
Yeah. At the end of the day, the Mercedes drivers did the job. They came there with one objective, which was to finish ahead of Ferrari. Both drivers couldn't have moved in the standings, so it was all about the team. And they just about did the job.
It was Jose Mourinho-esque, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, just George sitting just in those podium positions where he needed to be. Lewis just edging ahead and parking the bus at the end.
The Mercedes was a bit of a bus this year. So hopefully we can ditch a few of the passengers, get rid of the roof rack and what else you don't need. Have a quick car next year.
Here's hoping. Adam spoke about Hamilton's clash with Gasly, which prompted a stewards investigation. But Joe, that ultimately resulted in no further action. So do you think that was a racing incident, or do you think that was fair play?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think it was just a bit clumsy, wasn't it, from Lewis? Gasly locked up going into that corner at the end of the straight, and Lewis just trundled into the back of him. It was a really strange one. Ultimately, I don't think much came of it. I don't think it warranted a huge penalty, although we have spoken about penalties being given on the outcome of an incident. But yeah, it was just clumsy more than anything.
What should have got a penalty was Alonso bloody brake checking Lewis, yeah, trying to get the DRS.
It wasn't that. So yeah. That was very confusing driving.
I can't believe he wasn't penalised for it. Genuinely.
Neither can I, to be honest.
Yeah.
That was dangerous driving.
I don't know. If it was a young driver like Logan Sargeant doing it, he'd have had the book thrown at him.
Yeah. You've got to think the reputation plays a part there, which obviously it shouldn't.
And Alonso has a crafty reputation.
He is certainly crafty. If there's one word you could use to describe Fernando Alonso as an F1 driver, it'd be crafty.
Which is what we love him for. But also, you can't be doing that, just braking on the racing line. That's what Verstappen got a penalty.
Yeah, he did. He got that pointless penalty that they added after the race, which was less than the time to the gap to the car behind.
Yes, that's it.
So he effectively didn't get a penalty for it, but yeah.
Yeah, he was given a slap on the wrist for it. But Alonso was given less than a slap on the wrist. Maybe a gentle embrace. I don't know what less than a slap on the wrist was. But yeah, that's what should have got a penalty. Gasly and Lewis was weird. But yeah, racing incident. I agree with you, Joe.
Yeah, racing incident, just clumsy.
Yeah.
But yeah, a bit of an incident-packed race for Lewis.
It's unusual for many incidents to happen at the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. It's usually a damp squibber of a weekend.
You want to end at Brazil.
Yeah.
That's the best season finales happen at Interlagos. Yeah, 2008, 2012, 2007.
Yeah, definitely. And just to end on the race part of this podcast, Adam, Russell had an unexpected podium to finish off his season.
Nice way to end, huh? It was as a result of a clash between Perez and Norris, which where Perez went into the side of Norris. Norris carried on by cutting the corner. It was very similar to the start of that race that I don't like to mention and no one likes to hear about, but yeah, we get trauma from it. It was similar to the start of that between Hamilton and Verstappen. Perez was silly not to just let him back through and then overtake him again, but not a problem for George Russell, who managed to get top three and go on to that brand new podium that goes over the track to soak up the incredible atmosphere of Abu Dhabi. I think, as we were saying earlier, it's a really positive way for George to finish after what has been a tough year of ups and downs. And he will hope that that positivity and momentum can go into the winter and he can come back invigorated for 2024, when hopefully for all the Mercedes fans and team, that silver arrow is going a little bit quicker.
I think it was a really well-deserved podium as well. As we said, he had great pace throughout the race. To beat both the McLarens on pace, I thought was really impressive. And
positive for Mercedes as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. And then,
because we were expecting McLaren would be good there.
Yeah, and I think they were good there. That's the thing. And George still managed to finish ahead, so that's really good. And obviously didn't quite beat Perez on track, but I think he deserved to, given the drive. So that penalty's worked out nicely for him and given him the result that I think he deserved from that race.
Otter.
And I think a podium to finish off the season is a perfect way to finish off this podcast. Adam, Joe, thank you so much for joining us here on the Silver Arrows podcast.
Always a pleasure, and have a lovely festive period.
Thank you very much.
That's all we have time for this week. A massive thank you to Adam and Joe for joining us. Their social media handles are in the show notes. And thanks to you for listening. Do remember to follow us on Twitter at MercF1Pod and hit that follow button in your podcast app. If you're enjoying these episodes and feeling extra kind, drop us a review and share this episode with anybody who you think may enjoy it. We'll see you soon.